Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey, at Consultant Connect, we really want to spend time and recognize greatness within the economic development industry. So if you know somebody that you think would be a great candidate as one of our top 50 economic developers, please go to our website and nominate that person. Or if you want to brag about yourself, feel free to nominate yourself. You can visit www.consultantconnect.org/top50 and fill out the nomination form. So please go ahead and do that. We'd love to hear about some great people in your industry. Hey, welcome back to another episode of America's Jobs Team. I'm super excited to share today's conversation with Ben Jones today. Ben is the manager of business and economic development at City Utilities of Springfield, Missouri, where he's worked for the past 7 years, though his career in economic development spans 22 years. He has some amazing leadership insight from those years. So let's listen in. Thanks for joining us today. You know, we can just dive right in if you're ready. And, you know, really, I want to kick things off today and really just asking you, you know, what's the biggest challenge facing leaders today?
Sure. That's a great question. And one that can really take so many different tacks because there's just a lot of challenges facing every leader today. But as I was looking at this question, I kind of thought through what is the one thing I see that basically presents a challenge each and every day. And it kind of revolves around just the volume of data, the volume of information that comes at each and every one of us every single day, and how to digest that, how to use that, and then how to make good decisions based upon a lot of data. If you go back 20 years ago at the dawn of the internet, we had far less information. I mean, I can remember doing economic development when emails seemed like a new thing. And now there's just so much to process that a big challenge that every leader faces is digesting the information that comes at us and figuring out how to make good, effective decisions that'll lead to good results.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I know that you have led a couple of different organizations, so you've seen a lot of other leaders come and go. What's one behavior or trait that you've seen derail some leaders' careers, and how do you guard against it?
I think you can kind of sum it up sometimes in one word, and that tends to be complacency. And whether you're talking about a for-profit business, a not-for-profit, or an economic development organization, when you reach the point where you're not interacting, let's say from an economic development standpoint, if you're not interacting with your city council or your county commission, your board members, your stakeholders in the community, if you're not up to date and you don't know what they're thinking, if you're not able to be proactive and you're not getting out there and boots on the ground, I guess is a good analogy. Complacency can lead to a lot of bad things because tying back to our earlier conversation about volume of data, things can go from good to bad so quickly in the world we live in today. I mean, literally with a few tweets or a social media post, things can just be completely upside down. So complacency, I think, is it. You have to be proactive. You have to be working hard to be ahead of the curve. And that has to do with workforce development. It has to do with industrial recruitment. It has to do with BR&E. Every aspect of economic development, I think complacency can be a killer.
Sure. Yeah. And I know City Utilities is known to be a very, you know, progressive company. So what things are you doing to then ensure that you're growing and developing as a leader so you stay progressive?
I think it just comes down to getting out of bed every morning with a little bit of fire in your belly. I have been doing economic development for over 20 years, and I was in manufacturing prior to that and did a little bit of a tour with the United States Army as well. And every morning if you wake up and you're looking forward to what you do and enjoy what you do, have a bit of fire in your belly, like I said, one of the phrases that I really like is you never really work if you enjoy what you're doing.
So, sure.
I think guarding against complacency for me personally is a big deal, and I think it can work well for others. And then also just professional development and actually having a plan. Our utility actually has a leadership training process that you can go through, and it's used as not only a means of succession planning, but also identifying new leaders and figuring out who and how are they going to lead. There, with 1,000 employees almost, you have to have some kind of formal process, and I always encourage everyone here at at City Utilities to take advantage of that.
That's awesome. So you mentioned that you've been in economic development for, you know, a number of years, almost 20 years now. So what's one characteristic that you believe every leader should possess? And maybe who's an example over the course of your career that has been a great example for you moving forward?
Sure. This actually ties back to a lot of decades ago when I was an undergraduate student. I heard a professor in a political science class had a guest speaker. And I don't remember the gentleman's name. I wish I could give him credit, but it's just too many decades have gone by. But he talked about three things, the three E's, ego, empathy, and energy. And that, to me, sums up what every leader needs to have. You have to have some ego. If you're going to be a leader, it takes a little bit of moxie to stand in front of a board and chart out a direction. It takes a little bit of moxie to raise your hand, to go talk to your elected officials, to step up and do economic development. It's certainly not a job for the timid. You also have to have empathy. And I think this is one of the biggest things you have to have as an economic developer. You have to truly care about your community. You have to care about what's going on. You have to care that people have jobs. And we're very blessed to be in a position where we can be a servant leader, where we can go out and have a positive impact on our communities. And then finally, the third thing is energy. Like I mentioned earlier, you have to have that fire in your belly. You have to get out of bed with a little bit of bounce in your step, and you have to look forward to a day. I think one of the things I enjoy most about economic development is that it's every day is different. We all do projects. We all do similar things. But literally, we'll face a challenge each and every day that we just haven't even dreamed of yet. And that's what gets me going. It's just an ever-changing field. And I think if you have ego, empathy, and energy, those three characteristics will serve you well. And I think every leader needs them. A good example is somebody that no one's going to know. Back when I was in the Army at Fort Bragg as a young enlisted man, our company commander was a gentleman by the name of Captain Harrell. And he was a great leader. He would visit us in the motor pool. You'd see him at the company headquarters. He'd be in the barracks. He'd talk to soldiers, kind of like Sam Walton's management philosophy of, you know, management by walking around. He was visible. He made good decisions. And you always knew he was going to be there. If we were out in the field, he was out there with us. If we were doing a training exercise, he'd come check on us. Very visible gentleman. And the company did great that I was in. I was actually in a signal brigade. And we always passed our inspections with flying colors. Well, Captain Harrell got transferred out. And a new gentleman came in who was far less effective. And he was a bit more of a bureaucrat. And literally the same people in the same company failed our very next inspection. So kind of one of those tales of which is more dangerous, 100 lions led by a sheep or 100 sheep led by a lion. Literally just changing the leader of that company took us from excelling at what we did to failing at what we did. So it was a great example of a leader who possessed those three characteristics. And for me personally, I'll just never forget the impact that he had.
Every time I hear a leadership story coming out of, you know, our service, it's hard to put into perspective, you know, the importance of leadership when you're in one of our services. So great story. I love it. So, you know, there's a lot of new people coming into economic development, and it's becoming a younger talent pool that's getting into the industry. What's one piece of advice that you would give a young talent coming into economic development and into a leadership position for the first time?
A great example is the Missouri Economic Development Council. It's our statewide organization, an organization that is kind of the premier organization in the state of Missouri for economic developers. And it's a great organization. We have great membership. We've got about just over 300 members across the state. And when I was first coming into that organization, I thought it was all about professional development and getting to know some site location consultants and figuring out who was who at the state's Department of Economic Development. But I quickly realized that the connections I was making with my peers across the state was equally important. You know, Missouri is a pretty rural state, and my first job, I was the economic development guy in a town of 2,500 in a county with about 12,000 people. And I was it. I was expected to get everything done, including being the head of the local chamber of commerce. And when I had questions, I didn't have anybody I could ask. So I could pick up the phone and call a fellow Missouri Economic Development Council member, and we could commiserate and figure out who to call and talk to, or we could try and figure it out ourselves. So one of the things I always stress to our new members is that the advantages of an organization like your state economic development organization, and then I always encourage folks to be very active in the International Economic Council as well, too, IEDC, is that it's, to me, one half of of the two things you're going to learn, one is professional development and things you need to know for your job. But the equally important part is the network and the folks you're going to get to know, those peers, the contacts you're going to make within the field. Not only are you going to make some great lasting friendships, but you're going to find folks out there who are very smart, and you'll always be able to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, have you ever encountered this situation? And what can we do to help solve this? So those contacts that you make, and for all the young folks just now entering the profession, I tell them it's a contact sport. The more contacts you have, the better you're going to do.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, people in economic development, they're eager to help each other. I've noticed that, you know, there's a lot of movement, you know, within the industry and people moving towns, but everybody's still eager to help one another. And that's what's really unique about economic development. And one of the things that I think is one of the greatest things. But, you know, how do you know, with all this kind of movement going on, how do you know when it's time to move on? How do you know when it's time to change jobs or leave a community? You know, is there something that just kind of clicks that says, you know, I need to separate myself from this?
I think so. City Utilities, this is my third position in 22 years. So I've not moved as much as some. I've probably moved more than others, perhaps. But for me personally, I kind of reached that point where I felt like I'd kind of done everything I could do in that community, and I was ready for the next big challenge. And then just I personally knew it was time for me to move on. I was very blessed in both positions that I left. The communities were very welcoming, and then they were very gracious in seeing me go, and immediately hired a person to come in and work behind me that I also developed a great relationship with. And I left on good terms in both times. And I think you just kind of know when you're ready for the next challenge. For me, in both instances, I really wasn't actively looking, but the opportunity became available, and I just said, you know, this is too good for me to pass up. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. So I know there's some folks who lay out a very definite plan. They want to start in this size community and move on to the next one. For me personally, I have always enjoyed the utility aspect of things. When I had an opportunity to move into the utility sector, I had to take it. So I left a community that I really, really enjoyed, and still actually work with the fellow who's there now, and try and do everything we can to support each other. But for me personally, I think it was just, you know, it's time. There are situations out there where communities perhaps have leadership changes, and things sometimes can come a little bit off the rails, and then that may be a signal that you need to move on as well too. So I may not be the best person to ask that, given that I've only moved three times in 22 years, but I think everybody out there will kind of know it's time, whether it's like me, a personal indicator that, hey, I'm ready for the next challenge, or perhaps you just see something going on that makes you uncomfortable and it's time to move, or you know, you just see that next good opportunity and you just have to take care of it.
Yeah. Well, Ben, you were a great person to ask because you made the great point of the importance of leaving well and, you know, leaving a community or leaving an organization on good terms and, you know, how important that is for your future success. So that was a really great point. So 22 years in the industry, a lot of accomplishments. I've seen them all. What's the one thing you're the most proud of in your career?
Well, it actually goes back to my first economic development job, and it comes down to being connected to your community. And for me, why I do this, to me, if I can look at a facility and I see that people are working there and perhaps those folks may not have had that opportunity, then, you know, that's a great thing. It makes me know that what I've done was worthwhile. When I was in the first community that I did economic development, a little town called Montgomery City, which oddly enough was my home, or not oddly enough, luckily enough was my hometown. I was actually able to go back to the place I grew up and do economic development. I worked and located a big distribution center for a big company who'd everybody recognize their name. And they did beef distribution out of it, box beef, like what comes into a grocery store and then gets cut into steaks and ground into burger. And a big food facility, big refrigerated facility. And we did the normal types of incentives you would expect, including a property tax abatement. Very rural community, a lot of farmers in the area, and a few of them weren't really happy because I was working with a big agricultural corporate giant company that everyone would know. And they were a little upset that I was kind of working with them and offering them a tax break. And of course, I explained that we had to do this to be competitive. And when we got the project, we created 100 jobs and it worked out well. I had a fella come in. And he was really upset and he was challenging me about the tax abatement. And I was patiently kind of explaining the logic. And, you know, there's two sides to every issue. There's pros, there's cons. And I was, you know, disagreeing with him on the need for it. But I certainly understood his point that he had a valid argument that he didn't like it. And he basically got upset with me, stormed out of my office. I didn't, and didn't seem very happy at all. And he was really least happy because I pointed out that the agricultural farming community has quite a few breaks and tax incentives that they enjoy themselves as well. So conversation didn't end well. And 2 days later, he came in, tears in his eyes, apologized, and said the reason he came in at first was he needed help getting a job because his farm was failing. And that kind of touched me. And I did. I helped him get a job at that facility. And his pride was in the way a little bit to start. But at the end of the day, helping people find those jobs and working with someone to get them where they need to be in life, that's what makes me most proud.
Well, and that's what this industry ultimately is all about. It's about giving someone a job that didn't have one yesterday. So
exactly.
That's a great story, Ben. I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time today to share your story, share your journey with the listening audience today. We're inspired by your leadership, and you know, we certainly wish you the best in 2019.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Wow, that was an amazing conversation with Ben Jones today. Don't forget to tune in next week. I will be talking with Dennis Fraze, who's the Chief Operating Officer and Senior Economic Developer at Lee County Economic Development Group in Iowa. You're going to absolutely love his energy. Dennis heads up the marketing and communication strategies for Lee County, and I am really excited to share his wisdom with you. So thanks for listening today.